Welcome to another episode of Ultimate Key to Freedom. Questions, answers, comments, shares, whatever. All right. This first one we have is from Sherry, who has gone through the Ultimate Key to Freedom videos twice. True Creative Essence, TCE, is continuing to shape the story of Sherry by answering another of the questions Robert asked in response to her share a couple of weeks ago. By the way, Sherry uses transformational vocabulary, so she puts, let's call it illusionary words, whatever, story words in quotes, but I'm not going to read the quotes. Sherry had shared that the most important aspects of her life were not working the way she would have chosen had she been the writer of the story. These aspects haven't been working for a while, but Sherry always thought she could fix or improve them. She just needed to figure out how to do it. In the storyline, the most recent efforts are not working either, and she recognizes this may be the story that True Creative Essence continues until the end. Okay, I'm going to stop there for a minute and reinforce a few things. The odds are, Sherry, that you will instantly, there'll be a response that says, yes, Robert, I know that, I get that, I've thought about that, whatever. Maybe, maybe not, but anyway. In phase one, the whole point of the game is to explore limitation and restriction and have experiences that are opposite to who you really are. And so part and parcel of phase one is exactly what you narrated. It's your life is a certain way. You decide that you're unhappy with one or more aspects of it. You want to change, fix, or improve them. And so you go searching for ways, methods, techniques, practices, mentors, coaches, teachers, whatever it is, that you can use to carve your life out the way you want it to be, manifest what you want, change, fix, and improve your life the way you want. But, and you know, you said you just need to figure out how to do it. That's the party line. That's the party line in mainstream success and self-help teachings. That's the party line in metaphysical, let's call it, esoteric teachings. It's always the same basic message. You've got the power. You're driving the bus. You're creating your own reality. And so first you need to get clear on what's the reality that you want. And then you have to use da-da-da-da, whatever it is, technique in order to manifest it. That's the party line. It's not the truth. It's never been the truth. That's never how it's worked. It's always been whatever I've called it, different things at different times. It's been consciousness expand itself, what we now call true creative essence, that was always writing the stories, determining what was happening. The power was always there. It was never in the character. And when it appeared to be, it's because it was written that way. So when you say that that's the way it used to be, that's the way it is in phase one. And in general, as you know, my bias is there are exceptions, but in general, that approach just does not work reliably or consistently. We target things that we're unhappy with. We want to change, fix, and improve them, and we're not able to change, fix, and improve them. They stay the same. Or we're able to change, fix, and improve one or more of them, but the changes don't last. You know, we're able to temporarily, you know, increase our finances or make this bad thing go away, so to speak, make this good thing come in, so to speak, but it doesn't last. Or the other thing that happens is there is the ability to use techniques, strategies, you know, mentors, coaches, formulas, whatever it is, to change, fix, and improve particular things. As it appears, it's not true. It's an illusionary judgment, but as it appears, things get changed, fixed, and improved. Those particular things that were targeted. But then other things show up in life. Other things break. Other problems surface. Other things. And so, as you know, my bias is there's an endless assembly line of things that we want to change, fix, and improve. In general, there are characters and stories in which every possible whatever can happen. But if you look at the vast mass of people, characters out there in stories trying to change, fix, and improve, this is what happens. It doesn't work reliably. It doesn't work at all. It works, but the changes don't last. Or it works, the changes last, but then other things break, other problems surface, other challenges surface, other things are not okay, and so there's an endless assembly line of things we want to change, fix, and improve. Again, there are exceptions to this. It does change. in many characters' lives, depending on how old they are. Sometimes when characters get beyond a certain age, older age, these kinds of dynamics can change and there's less of a change, fix, and improve. But even then, there tends to be not formulas, not rules, not everybody, but there tends to be issues with the body and health. And so it shifts into that kind of a thing. But anyway, this is the design of phase one. And it's all about stories. You know what Michael Haig said about what makes a great story. You know about the journey from identity to essence that he talked about that can be part of some stories. And so underneath all of that, underneath cloud cover, phase one, limitation, restriction, experiencing being opposite who you really are, is what makes a great story. And in the most simplistic form, what makes the great story is a character that's got a specific something they're trying to achieve. And they set out to try to achieve that, and they experience obstacles and all kinds of other things that they try to overcome to try to produce the particular result. And it's the tension of wanting, not getting, wanting and having to overcome obstacle after obstacle after obstacle, these kinds of things, that's what makes a great story that we read, watch, play with a video game, whatever it is. Now, I realize that the mind machine can buzz and whir and say, well, that's fine for a novel, Robert. That's fine for a movie and a TV show and a video game, but that's not the way I want it to be in my life. I want things in my life to be easy, no resistance, no challenges, whatever. But my bias is, although there can be periods of that, and there can be long periods of that in phase one, phase two, and especially in phase three with ultimate freedom awake, and it doesn't tend to be the case because it's boring. It doesn't stimulate emotion. It doesn't create interesting stories. And for Ultimate Freedom Phase 3, it's about total immersion stories with the total immersion reader reading as the experience of it. So now what's happening in the Sherry story is, you could say, lack of a better term, and I could be incorrect about this, Sherry. It's possible that these particular ways, parts of your life that aren't working are more important, but it would seem to me that forefront is, if you say, okay, what does the Sherry character want in her story? What's the clearly defined visible goal? I would hypothesize that the number one goal, perhaps, was for me, so my bias may be affecting things here, is, let's just say, ultimate freedom awakening in the Sherry story. And then underneath that is wanting to, and we haven't gotten to her list yet, but wanting to change specific things in the story. So again, ultimate freedom, the journey into ultimate freedom is not about how to figure out how to change, fix, and improve things, how to carve your life, how to manifest what you want. It's about having an interesting story, an amazing journey from point A, which is where you were before, to point B, which is ultimate freedom awake. It has nothing to do with content, as I talked about on the final day. It has nothing to do with the specifics of what happens inside of you or outside of you on the journey into ultimate freedom awakening. It's all about how what's appearing is perceived, with a capital P, how it's experienced, with a capital E. So she recognizes it may be the story that true creative essence continues until the end, that the Sherry character wants to do da-da-da-da and wants to find a way to do it and isn't able to do that, whatever. Odds are that that's not the case, that that's going to be the way it is for the rest of the Sherry life. It certainly could be. The most important piece in this, Sherry, and I think you already know this from the teachings, but the most important piece in this is that the desire, the judgment of, this is not working in my life, this is not working the way I want, that is all phantom stuff. That is all ghost stuff. That is all lies, illusions, and stories. That is all mind machine stuff, no matter how logical it might seem. And believe me, I get that if you and I, Sherry, or other people in the program were having a conversation and you were to say, hey, look, da-da-da-da is happening in my life. Come on, Robert. You can't seriously tell me that that's fine and that's good. And if that was happening in your life for decades, you'd be fine with it. And that, you know, blah, 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 and that life wouldn't be better if da-da-da-da was changed about that or fixed about that or whatever else it is. And I, you know, my bias at this point would be that I would not answer it that way, and the come on is incorrect. But anyway, that to me is the most important piece. It doesn't mean that desires, as I talked about, I believe, on the final day, it doesn't mean that change, fix, and improve desires have to go away or will go away, or are guaranteed to go away when ultimate freedom is awake. There is no essential problem with that for the reasons that you know with a story. You know, there's very often, you know, and in a great story, there's always something that the character wants. Now, the difference, my bias, in phase three with ultimate freedom, and this is true in phase one and phase two too, is that, yes, that's even true in phase three. Now, I've talked about the fact that the Robert character does not have a lot of change, fix, and improve desires at this point. There aren't particular goals. There aren't particular results. I'm not trying to produce any particular thing in my life or my career. For me, it's much more like total immersion reading. You don't have a goal, really, for the character when you're reading a great novel, watching a great movie. I mean, you may be rooting for them if there's a clearly defined goal that they appear to be pursuing, but as the reader, you don't really have. You could say, well, I'd like them to win, and I'd like them to overcome and get the goodie, whatever, but in general, you're just dealing with what the author spoon feeds you, and so the Robert story is much more like that at this particular point in time. But true creative essence always has a particular goal that the character is going after. It still fits what Michael Haig says. True creative essence has that, and it's driving the story in the same way and for the same reasons that Michael Haig talked about. It's not the character, and it may not be conscious, although it could be. So the most important thing here is not that Sherry wants things and isn't getting them. It's the most important thing here is not that there are things that you would like to have in your life that you don't, things that are present that you'd like to have gone, things that are present that you'd like to be different. That's not the goal. If you remember on day one of the Ultimate Freedom Teachings, I said this is not about making more money or getting a soulmate or solving a problem or resolving a health issue, whatever it is. It's not about that. Those things may happen. It's likely that some of them will, but that's not what this is about. This is about ultimate freedom awakening. So anyway, I wanted to add that at the beginning. Let's continue here. A couple of weeks ago, Robert asked what these aspects of her life are. In the storyline, True Creative Essence is shaping the following. Husband's business is financially continuing at a break-even despite tremendous efforts both Sherry and he have made for its growth. Two possible new businesses Sherry had been developing over the past year fell apart a few weeks ago, both on the same day. Personal finances dropped to 25% of what they once were, eliminating almost all discretionary income. Health of husband is seriously declining. He suspects he won't be alive a few years from now. He soothes his emotions by drinking excessively. Father had a stroke recently. This man who had been an emotional bedrock to this character is now requiring medical care from Sherry. End-of-life conversations have been taking place. Poor personal health has made it difficult for this character to keep up with what is required of her. Adult son moved out of house recently and is shifting attention to fiancé and her family. He spent Mother's Day with her family and didn't attend a large event our family was holding. Fiancé has requested financial support for their wedding that we cannot provide. She stated that without it, they would not be able to include us in some of the wedding events or list our name on the invitations. That's an interesting one. That's me interrupting there. She didn't say that. Continuing, girlfriends have previously been a source of emotional support for this character, but recently she has not taken the time to nurture these relationships. Ultimate freedom has not awakened to the point of emotions being neutral or positive. They are neutral or negative. Tears are never far away and appear for no apparent cause at work and other public places. She sometimes wakes up at night with tears running down her cheeks. She is resigned and knows that the pages will continue to turn. Okay, Sherry, I have to preface this, and I'm not sure that you'll be able to hear this, so to speak, or accept it or believe it or whatever else, but I'm going to start out with this anyway. What I'm about to say does not in any way, shape, or form mean to minimize or demean or judge or poo-poo or make unimportant or disregard anything that you're saying. Bear with the language here for a minute. I get that these things are difficult, and I get that they are creating emotions that sometimes you're struggling with. And, you know, whatever else you want to say, I get that. In ways that I cannot express here in words, I have tremendous empathy for what you're saying here, because in my own way, not all of these specifics, but the gist of them and the way that they make you feel, you know, so to speak, character feel, particularly with cloud cover in place, I have experienced. So I get that. And I'm sensitive to that, and I feel that, and I'm not trying to, you know, sugarcoat that or put cream cheese over the bagel or whatever, or say, hey, you know, whatever. And I'm going to shine the light of truth on it, which I look at as my job. I look at as my role. And I get that the mind machine can buzz whir in response to everything I say and say, yeah, but, no, no, okay, but. I get that I might be able to experience it that way sometime, but I'm not now. I don't like that. I don't want that to be the truth, even if it is. There's all kinds of resistance, so to speak, that can come out to what I say. The same thing came out in the Robert character when these things happened. Again, remember, I told you that I could spend the whole 4 days, the whole 5 days. I could spend a month. I could do a workshop for a month every day, 8 hours a day, you know. And still not tell all of the details of what I called my story that I narrated on day three. But you can imagine, not asking for sympathy. I'm not saying mine was worse than yours. I'm not saying anything like that. But you can imagine that what I narrated is my story, which actually took place over a 10-year period, everything that I talked about there. But the awakening of ultimate freedom was a 3-year period. Was extremely difficult and painful and confusing, and even though I knew the truth about things, it didn't make me feel any better, and I wasn't experiencing it that way. At least there were contradictory things appearing in inner space, so I know what this is like. But bottom line, I'll just use Michael Haig as an example again. If you were talking to Michael Haig and you listed these things that you just listed for me, Michael Haig would say something like to you, like, all of the things that you just narrated, Sherry, these happen in movies. All of the things that you just narrated, these kinds of things happen in great novels. They happen in TV show episodes. These are the kinds of things that happen in a great story. And they happen because, you know, the kinds of things that he said. It stimulates emotions. In my language, these things happen. True creative essence shapes itself into these kinds of dynamics because it creates unique opportunities to have unique thoughts, feelings, and sensations that appear in inner space, unique things in story space, and to total immersion, read, and experience, and ultimately enjoy, and I get that you're not, as it appears, an amazing story of a unique character at a particular point in time. And you could say, well, I get that some of these things, Robert, that I just narrated are unique to this particular point in time, but there's a lot of these kinds of things, as you've narrated, I think, that I've been struggling with my whole life. Well, I could say the same thing. Most of the Ultimate Freedom participants could say the same thing. I sent a video out that I think you probably got. It was from Robert McKee, and he talked about President Obama and some other people. He was answering a question about somebody saying, what about if a character's just had nonstop bad luck, whatever. She didn't call it that in her life, her whole life. And Robert McKee talked about that. So all of this is raw material for stories. These kinds of things happen in the lives of just about everybody. And if you were to say, well, I'm aware of a friend of mine and they don't have any of this kind of stuff, or so-and-so famous rich person in the media doesn't seem to be. A lot of times they do, and you don't know, even your friends and other people. And there are other people with different stories that have different challenges and struggles. But ultimately, the entire human experience is about unique characters in unique situations, exploring unique what would happen if scenarios, and along the way, for however long the story lasts, however old a character is before the story ends, what we call death, has the opportunity for unique thoughts, feelings, and sensations, and unique things with the body and unique things with story space, all about having amazing experiences of these total immersion stories for the same reason, really, that we love great novels if you do, we love great movies if you do, we love great TV shows if you do, and other kinds of stories that take place. And again, if it was me when I was in the middle of the difficult times in Robert's story, and you said that to me, you know, I would have said, fuck that. Doesn't make me feel any better. You know, whatever else. I'm not sure I believe that. I hope that's not true. Or if it's true, that's not how I'm experiencing it. There's still this voice in inner space that's screaming da-da-da-da about why it's bad, why I want it. I mean, I get that. And that was a snapshot. That was a particular moment. Years have passed. Things have changed. Ultimate freedom has awakened. And the Robert character, Barrett the Language, is in a very, very different place. And so, again, as you've heard me narrate, perhaps with you and definitely with some other people in the archives, if you've listened to other Q&As other than your own, imagine that this is a 10,000-page book, and this is page 8,000. And on page 8,000, all these things that you just narrated are happening with the hero, whose name's Sherry or whatever else. There's 2,000 more pages. Stuff's going to happen. Don't know what. If things are going to change, don't know when, don't know how, just like we don't when we're reading a great novel. But you're on page, I'm making up random numbers, 8,000, and there's all this shit going on. There are all these problems, quote unquote. There are all these challenges. There are all these confusing. There are all these things that you want to have different. And it's an unfolding story. And we'll see where it goes. But again, to me, going back in a loop to what I said before, the most important thing to me, my bias could be wrong, that applies here for you, Sherry, and the odds are applies for everyone else listening to this, is if a great story is about a hero that's pursuing a clearly visible goal and experiencing what seems like insurmountable obstacles that are blocking and other variations of that that you know, to getting it, then my bias is in the Sherry story, the clearly visible goal is ultimate freedom awakening. And you're now experiencing what appears as insurmountable, unacceptable, difficult, crazy, wish it was different kinds of obstacles that are part of the journey into ultimate freedom awakening to one degree or another. And so again, to me, this is classic, great story. It's classic with your own unique spins because you're a unique character in a unique situation. So some of the things that you're talking about here are unique to your story. And my guess is if we took a poll of all of the participants in Ultimate Freedom and I gave your list, you know, let's imagine that we're all in a hotel room somewhere and I'm up on stage and everybody that's a Ultimate Freedom participant sitting in the audience and I read your list. And I said, okay, now I'm going to read Sherry's list of things that are difficult for her, that she wishes were different, that she'd like to change, fix, and improve. I'm going to read them one at a time. And every time I read one, when I ask, raise your hand, if something like this has happened in your life, is happening right now, you know, this or something very similar to it, the odds are there'd be a lot of hands going up for most of them, all of them. Particularly if someone's on a journey through the cloud cover for reasons that I think you understand, and definitely if it's a particular journey to ultimate freedom awakening because of being exposed to the ultimate freedom teachings. So again, if I was you, Sherry, none of this would help. It wouldn't make me feel any better. I'd still struggle with what I struggled until I don't. And true creative essence, again, my bias, there's a journey here to ultimate freedom awakening, which means there's a journey here to all of these things being experienced with a capital E differently, slowly but surely is the way it happened for me. And then there's also the opportunity for some of the specifics to change, but it's all being used as raw material to make a great story at the uppermost level. And then my bias is underneath that is to support the awakening of ultimate freedom and having it happen in an interesting way. And there is the opportunity, as you heard me narrate in my story, to one day look back on all of this in a different way with a massive wow and appreciation for how different things can be when ultimate freedom's awake, when there's a truthful with a capital T relationship to everything, when total immersion reading is happening. And I'm going to go back to something that I said before that you had not heard when you wrote this, but you probably heard now, which is that you said ultimate freedom is not awakened to the point of emotions being neutral or positive. They are neutral or negative. And I want to push on that, Sherry, because from the things that you've shared with me, I don't think that's true. What I think is true is there is a lot of truthful with a capital T relationship with emotions that's happening. There's still times that it seems negative and bad. Tears does not mean that ultimate freedom has not awakened with emotions. I cry all the time, particularly with really moving scenes in movies and stuff, as I think I've narrated before, and that's not a bad thing, and it doesn't mean that ultimate freedom isn't awake. It doesn't mean there isn't a truthful with a capital T relationship with emotions. Tears are not bad. But I think there's a story here that says ultimate freedom is not awakened with emotions. I believe it has. I believe you're experiencing it more than you think. But the times that it doesn't appear that way, or it's appearing that way all the time or a lot, but there's a story that says it's not, because there's a story of how it ought to look and feel and be that has distortion in it. And I could be wrong on that, but that's my bias. She is resigned and knows that the pages will continue to turn. Again, that's very significant that you can say that, Sherry, because that's truth with a capital T. You would not have said that, I'm going to make up a number, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. If you and I were having this kind of a conversation with just having this conversation, or perhaps, I don't remember, I think you were involved with the Phase 2 Busting Loose teachings, if we were having this conversation, that would not have been how you ended something like this. How you ended something like this would have been, I'm making this up, but you know, it would have been something like, I just don't know how much longer I can take this. I just really hate what's going on in my life. I can't, this is too much. I'm overwhelmed. I hate this. And I just really want it to be different. Now, when you say you're resigned, I think we've talked about that in the past. There's a distortion in that. A negative about that, thinking that there's a character who can be resigned or surrender or give up or whatever, but knows the pages will continue to turn. The story will continue to unfold. It'll go where it goes. That is huge and significant that you can say that, and it's not just words. There is a growing truthful with a capital T relationship with what's going on that is being, let's call it, reflected back by you using that language. So that's what I feel moved to share right now, Sherry. I certainly welcome an ongoing dialogue from you, as well as anybody else listening that may want to comment on that particular dialogue. Okay, here we go with the next one from Isabel. Going through the ultimate key to freedom for the third time. I don't know if that includes the ultimate key to happiness videos. Perhaps it does. If not, then certainly there's a recommendation, Isabel and everyone else listening, that to me, even though there is some overlap, the Ultimate Key to Happiness videos are, to my bias, considered part of the experience, and so are highly recommended if you haven't gone through them. Okay, hi, Robert. This must be my last question, as it's been 3 months since I've signed up. My character first read The Busting Loose from the Mind Game whilst traveling back from Oregon last December. So I am fairly new to the teachings. And by the way, she's using transformational vocabulary, which, as you know, I support, and I'm not going to read all the quotes. Continuing, it seems that I am now in the destabilization period as I still hear my mind machine buzzing and whirring, and I hear it trying to decide on what to come up with. There's a lot less autopilot responses, and when that happens, what do you suggest I... What happens? What do you suggest I do being in this phase instead of using the busting loose scripts, etc.? Okay, I'm going to stop there. Isabel, on the ultimate key to freedom path, there is no to-do list. There are no methods or practices or tools or techniques. There's no whenever da-da-da-da happens, do this. It's a completely different ballgame, and I know that it's alien, and I know that mind machines want, give me something to do, which I talked about. But there isn't any suggestion, there isn't any prescription, there isn't anything to do, except if you want to look at it this way and you can't take the wording to language too literally. The opportunity is just watch. You know, just read. Again, when you're reading a great novel, which is my favorite example, and there's something going on, imagine in this case, to take it literally with your story, Imagine you're reading a novel, and the hero of the novel is Isabel, and the goal that Isabel is pursuing in this story that you're reading, you actually picked up a book at a bookstore, and it's a story about Isabel on a who's on a journey to ultimate freedom, awakening in her story. And imagine that you're on page 256 of a, let's say, an 800-page novel, and you're reading what you just said. You know, Isabel sent an email to Robert and said, I think I'm in the destabilization period because I'm noticing da-da-da-da happening. And so you're reading that story, and what's going on in your mind, although it's not usually conscious, can be, but it's not usually, what goes on in your mind is, okay, Isabel's in the destabilization period. And she's hearing her mind machine buzzing and blah, blah, blah. And as the reader of the story, you say, okay, fine. Flip the page. Let's see what's going to happen next. You accept it, and you're curious to see what's going to happen in the story, so you keep turning the pages, and then you find out what happens with that mind machine buzzing and worrying, and does the Isabel character move into the next period that Robert talked about, and what's going to happen to her? Is ultimate freedom going to awake? Not going to awake? How long is it going to take? What's going to happen? You know, that's the opportunity. You know, if you want something to do, there isn't an Isabel who can do it, but it can appear that way, then that is, watch what's happening. Be aware, hyper aware, let's say, of everything that's appearing in inner space and story space, and also be aware of when things change, how they change, where is reading, total immersion reading happening, where is there a truthful, capital T, relationship with something where there wasn't before, but just be hyper aware, so to speak, lack of a better term, of what's happening. That's it. There isn't any other. And that's not a technique. That's just what's going to happen. And I'm shining a spotlight on it. It's not, oh, okay, you know, you hear this and you or someone else listening to this, Isabel says, okay, well, from now on, that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to watch what's happening. I'm just going to be hyper aware of what's happening. Well, that's what's happening anyway. It's not a technique. It's not something new. It's not something you can do or that you weren't doing before that you can do now. That's what happens. And so I'm just shining a spotlight on that and say, that's the only to-do, you could say, and it's not really a to-do, but it can seem like it. And it can appease the mind machine, lack of a better term, that wants something to do, because at least it can say, oh, okay, I'm just going to watch, even though that's happening anyway. It can't not watch, you know, but it can affect things. Maybe not, but it can. And if there is no longer the motivation to use the tools from the Busting Loose from the Money game, which, again, not necessary, but some people like it and enjoy it and whatever, then, again, the opportunity is watch, see what happens. Same exact kind of a thing that would happen if you were reading a novel. But, again, there's no to-do list, no prescription, no techniques, no to-do list as it relates to Ultimate Freedom Awakening. Continuing. There are some areas, for example, when I'm interacting with clients that my mind machine jumps in with a quick answer. I'm going through the ultimate key to freedom. What's the way forward from here? Thanks for being part of my character story, Isabel. The way forward from here, what's the way forward for you as the reader of a great novel? Well, you know, with a great novel, the author wrote it. It's been written. It unfolds word by word, page by page, as you turn the pages, but it's been written, you know, my bias of what's going on in our lives, same thing. So what's the way forward for you as the reader of a novel in terms of what's happening to the hero and the other characters in the story? What's the way forward? The way forward is keep reading and see what happens, and that's the way forward here. And again, remember, Robert was a major doer. Robert was a major, give me some strategy, give me some way to get from my endless point A's to point B journeys, you know, give me something to do. Show me the best way, the best technique, the best strategy, the best resource, software, you know, whatever it is to get my. So, and you know that I was taken kicking and screaming from wanting to do and thinking I was doing and wanting those kinds of techniques. So I get how alien and difficult and strange and unfamiliar, I'll just use that judgmental language, it is to not be trying to drive the bus somewhere, but to simply be total immersion reading an amazing story and seeing what the writer wrote as it unfolds day by day, moment by moment, and there being a different relationship to all of it. But that's the way forward. Lack of a better term, be the reader. Now, that's not a technique. That's what happens. That's what's always been going on. It just didn't seem that way. So again, it's not a technique. It's not a to-do list. There isn't any Isabel that can all of a sudden say, oh, okay, well, I'll start reading. The mind machine can't start reading because it's something True Creative Essence does. But like I said with Sherry, there's a story unfolding here for Isabel. And again, imagine it's a 100,000-page novel for your whole life. And I don't know how old you are, and it doesn't matter. But, you know, just imagine that the whole story of Isabel's life is a 100,000-page novel. And I'm going to make up a number. It doesn't mean anything. You're on page 68,000 right now, and there's 32,000 pages more in the story. Lots can happen. Some related to Ultimate Freedom, some not, after Ultimate Freedom Awakens, if it does. And the only way you're going to move forward, so to speak, the only way you're going to know what's in those 32,000 pages is for them to be read. Same thing with a novel. The only way to find out what's going to happen in a movie is to keep watching. There's no other choice. If you don't keep watching, you won't find out what's going to happen. And if you love the movie, you're riveted by it, whatever. I know there's exceptions at the story level. Then you stay in the theater. You continue to watch it if you're at home or in a plane, airplane, or whatever else it is, bus, you know, whatever. That's the only way forward in a story is to keep reading, keep watching, keep whatever, however you want to language it. And it's the same thing for us, including me, in the Robert story. Okay, let's see what's next here. This is from Yukako, who has been through the live Ultimate Key to Freedom Intensive, the 5-day, which actually she came to do that in Sydney, Australia, and she's also been through the online. Hi, Robert. And she's using transformational vocabulary, putting words like I and such and my in quotes, but I'm not going to read the quotes. I can't believe that 3 months have already passed since I attended UKFI, which is Ultimate Key to Freedom Intensive. If you don't know, that's our abbreviation, UKFI, in Sydney. Here's my question. I understand that there's no cause and effect, so all you can do is just do whatever you feel motivated to do and see how it goes, right? That question continues, but I'm going to stop there. Do what you feel motivated to do is the language that I used to use with the Busting Loose Phase 2 teachings, and that was distorted by thinking that Robert still was an individual and Robert still had a choice and Robert still had decision-making authority. And so that was the languaging at the time because that's how I saw it. So that's why I'm pushing on that. It's not that you do what you feel motivated to do and see how it goes, because even if there appears to be thinking, considering, evaluating options and stuff, the reality is it's the same exact thing as a novel or a movie. Decisions get made, action gets taken, things happen, and you do things. Harry Potter just does things in the Harry Potter books. Characters just do things in movies. Characters in other novels just do things. So if I was going to language this the way I'd language it now, I would say, who you really are, Yukako, who Robert really is, who everybody else listening to this really is true creative essence, total immersion, reading the story in which you are the hero. So what's going to happen is, whether you're totally aware of it or not, whether it seems like it's awake or not, is that in your case, but this applies to everybody, Yukako, you are total immersion reading the Yukako story. And Yukako is going to do things. And things are going to happen, and Yukako is going to respond, and you're going to be aware of it. You're going to total immersion read it. Very similar thing, as you know, to reading a novel, except it's total immersion. And then, yes, you see how it goes. That's all that ever happens in life, though. You know, that's not that this is all of a sudden a new way to live with ultimate freedom, really. If we're brutally honest, that's the way it was in phase one. That's the way it was in phase two. And that's the way it is in phase three with ultimate freedom awake. It's just that there are very convincing, compelling stories in phase one that overflow into phase two that say, I'm an individual. I have free will. I have power. I can manifest, I can do. But other than that, you take out that story, it was the same thing. Stuff happens, actions are taken, we wait and see what's going to happen, and it's always, to my bias, been the same exact thing as we now are shining a spotlight on with the Ultimate Freedom Teachings and have the opportunity to experience things being in a truthful with a capital T relationship. But yes, in very simple language, it's the same thing as reading a novel or a movie. The story unfolds and you see how it goes. And if decisions are made, then decisions are made. If actions are taken, actions are taken. If things drop out of nowhere, as it appears, things drop out of nowhere. And we keep turning the pages, sitting in the seat, watching the movie, and we see what happens. Okay, continuing. What about the apparent cause and effect that seems to happen often enough? Do you let the mind machine take it into account and make plans accordingly, or do you ignore such a thing on the truth with a capital T path? Looking forward to your comments. Well, what I'm about to say is what happens in the Robert story, and I don't know how universal this tends to be, how common this tends to be, or if this is one of those things that I used to refer to as Weird Robert and his unique way of being. But the way that this appears in the Robert story is, there are many situations and contexts where I am aware of cause and effect dynamics. Now, as you may or may not know, I spent a long time in what's called direct response marketing, and it was a particular approach to marketing. And it was all based on math and science and testing different approaches and finding out what works and then constantly testing against it and measuring everything and trying to get the most profit and most efficiency out of everything. And there are all kinds of cause and effect rules, and all of that has amplified. For example, you know, there are cause and effect rules like, you know, if you're going to have a website and you're going to have an order button or a button where somebody needs to take action, you know, don't make it red because people are used to red being stop signs, and so you need to make it green so that it motivates people to click on it and take it. And there's all this kind of stuff, which to my bias, a lot of this is just a little bit crazy, but there's science that appears to back it up, and there's cause and effect that I become aware of with things related to the body. I'll go to a doctor or a dentist, and the doctor or dentist will tell me something that has some sort of a cause and effect, whatever. So there are times where I am aware that there is a cause and effect story about a particular something that appears in my life, you know. And so that's scenario one. I am aware of a cause and effect story. And so then what appears is, and this isn't conscious anymore. It's one of those things, like I say a lot, when you're reading a story and something happens, you know, what happens inside of you, so to speak, Barrett, the language is, okay, da-da-da-da, just happened to the character. Fine, I get that. Okay, now what's going to happen next? And you're curious to see what's going to happen next. But you don't think that consciously, usually, but that's what's going on. And so in this first scenario, what goes on is there's an awareness of the fact that there's a cause and effect story in motion. And there's awareness of the fact that true creative essence can choose to, I call it, energize that cause and create that effect all the time, some of the time, a lot of the time, whatever. But that it's up to true creative essence, and it isn't really cause and effect. It isn't a rule. It isn't a law. It doesn't have to work that way. That's not the way it is. But it's a possible way that true creative essence can shape itself into, again, consistently or from time to time, and modifying it. And I don't know in my story whether true creative essence is going to do it or not. So, you know, then it comes back to what you said before, which is that if one of these first scenario thing happens and I'm aware that there's a cause and effect possibility in motion, then the attitude is we'll see what happens. And if there's a cause and effect that says, you know, put this cream on at night, or there's a cause and effect that says, eat this, don't eat that, drink this, don't drink that. If you, you know, there's this side effect to whatever, then I watch and see what happens. And but I don't spend much time really thinking about this or worrying about this or being curious about this. Again, this is something that goes on in the background, and I'm narrating it because you're asking me. But in general, Barrett the language, I just live my life. And if there's a cause and effect something that appears to be energized, then there's something that appears to be energized. And if there's not, it's not. And if I'm aware of a cause and effect story, I'm aware of a cause and effect story. And if I'm not, I'm not, which moves us to scenario two, which is my life is being lived. The story's unfolding. There isn't any awareness of any cause and effect, anything. Life's just happening. And the other thing I have to say is in phase one and in phase two, ironically less so in phase three, but also in phase three, I saw so many things. True Creative Essence shaped itself into so many things where the supposed cause and effect, it just didn't work that way. So there was a lot put into the Robert Mind Machine that said anytime in effect somebody gives you a cause and effect rule, it may or may not work that way, or it may or may not work that way for me. And I don't know if you know some of these stories from other things you're aware of. I don't remember if I talked about them in Ultimate Freedom in Narramore in Sydney, but there were things that used to happen to the Robert character. I mean, the example that's coming to mind now, I remember that I was using a software program many years ago. This is probably 8-9 years ago at the time of this recording. And every time I tried to do something, you know, I clicked on a link or I clicked on a button or whatever it was, hit run or whatever it was in the software, and I'd get this error message. And so I called the tech support people of the software company and I said, I keep getting this error message. And the guy said, that's not possible. There's no such error message in the software. You can't be seeing that. And it was kind of like, all right, well, I've been seeing it consistently for a week. I don't know what to tell you. You want me to send you a screenshot of it, you know, kind of a thing? And he said, well, you know, I'm the software developer. I wrote all the code. There could only be an error message like that if I put it there and I didn't, you know. So I had so many things, you know, where it was just, there was awareness that then consciousness expanded itself, whatever the label was. Early on, it was director and inner CEO. There were different labels for what we now call True Creative Essence. But there's so many. I used to say that Robert was the king of weird. So a lot of this was in motion before Ultimate Freedom Awakened, and it contributes to what I'm narrating here. But so those are the two scenarios. And in the second scenario where there isn't any cause and effect, then, you know, life gets lived. The pages get turned. Stuff happens. And cause and effect is irrelevant. And if I had to hazard a guess, in the average day for the Robert character, you know, I don't know, 90-something percent of what happens does not have any conscious cause and effect story related to it. But anytime there is a cause and effect story, that is what I am aware of, that there's awareness of, okay, that's a story. It could work that way. It might not work that way. It could work some other way, including quote-unquote impossible, can't be explained, doesn't make sense ways, because true creative essence can shape itself into anything. And so that's how it is in my story. But the way the Robert story ran, you know, probably what would have happened, and it did to a certain extent, but not as much as what I'm about to say, is that the odds are in the Robert story is ultimate freedom was awakening any time there was some cause and effect, and the mind machine would buzz and whir and say, oh, okay, if I want to create X, I should do, you know, Y and Z first. You know, anytime there would be cause and effect, anytime there would be a rule, anytime it would be, okay, if I want to produce this result, just do this, 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 and this. If I tried to use that as a rule and a formula and a reliable, every time you do it, it'll work kind of a thing, it wouldn't work that way. Anytime the Robert character latched onto anything, thinking that it was a magic formula that could be used, then true creative essence would mess with it, you know, and make it not work reliably. It worked reliably, and then all of a sudden when it locked in as a habit, as a rule and a formula, then it wouldn't work, and so this gets complicated. But so to me, that's how it appears in the Robert story. Scenario one is I'm aware of a cause and effect story. And the way it's perceived is it's a cause and effect story. It's not a rule. There's no power in the cause. There's no relationship that every time that cause gets triggered, the effect will get triggered. We'll see what happens. And sometimes, at the moment, I'm not thinking of any specific examples, but sometimes cause and effect dynamics do appear to be consistent and do appear to run that way in the Robert story, and sometimes they don't. But there isn't any tracking of it anymore either. You know, it's not like I become aware of a cause and effect story. This appears, all right, it's a story. True creative essence can shape itself into that story appearing to be true and consistent and real. or not. Let's see what happens. Then it's not like there's some mind machine program that gets run that says, okay, this just happened 53 times in the last 6 months. How many times did it? There isn't analysis. There isn't thinking about it, but it's just, it's really completely unimportant in the Robert story. It's irrelevant in the story. And even if there is a cause and effect along the lines of what I said, something that appears to be energized, you know, and appears to be working that way, then it's really just still da-da-da-da's appearing in inner space, da-da-da-da's appearing in story space, and turn the page, you know, let's see what's going to happen. It's total immersion reading, whether there's a cause and effect story or not. And I have to tell you again, this was very different in the Robert story because cause and effect had been messed with in phase one and had been messed with in phase two. So there was less of a reliance of it. There was on it. There was less of an acceptance on it, especially when the leap was made into phase two and started using the tools and became aware of illusions and all the stuff that's in the Busting Loose phase two teaching. So the Robert story, like all of ours, is unique and was unique in this particular dynamic. And again, you said, do you let the mind machine? Again, it's not up to me. It's not my choice. I'm not doing any of this. It's all happening, and I'm aware of it as the total immersion reader. I don't have the choice to ignore things or not, but things can get ignored. I don't have a choice to let the mind machine do something or not, but the mind machine can do something or not. And the reality to my bias is all the stuff that happens in our lives in inner space and story space just happens. It happens because True Creative Essence wrote it and then shaped itself into it, but it just happens. And we are simply the total immersion readers, total immersion experiencing all those things that are happening. On their own, without us doing anything, choosing anything, driving any bus, making any decisions, having any free will, really, except it can appear that way. So if you, Yukako, or anyone else would like to continue this dialogue on this topic, but again, I'll just say the answers to these kinds of questions can always be found by seeing what actually happens and observing it, you know. And when you observe, and again, there could be a character that there's a particular cause and effect something. It could be something related to the body, particularly if there's been some kind of a what would be called chronic problem, you know, chronic back pain, issues with wrinkles, and somebody doesn't like the way they look, so they try creams and things on their skin or different treatments, or it could be headaches, or it could be whatever, physical issue. And it can extend to things with body and other kinds of things where it's, you know, da-da-da is happening and you need to have surgery and you go have surgery and there's cause and effect about the drugs and the treatment and all. But my bias is even if it went that way and not with Ultimate Freedom Awakened, I haven't had surgery or anything since Ultimate Freedom Awakened, but I did in phase two and I did in phase one. And there's all kinds of cause and effect things that we become aware of. And my attitude to one degree or another was similar to what I've narrated here, just not with the Ultimate Freedom pieces in it. So anybody would like to continue this dialogue, I'm happy to. This is how cause and effect is experienced. And again, how is cause and effect experienced when you read a novel, which is my favorite example? You read, you're turning the pages, you're reading the story. Anytime there appears to be cause and effect, you don't really think about it. You don't stop and say, oh, there was X cause and it led to Y effect. And this has happened 8 times now in this story, that this cause and effect, what I'm calling a cause and effect story, is in motion. You're turning the pages, whatever cause and effect, whatever appears in the story, you become aware of it. You register it, so to speak. You're aware of it. You accept it. Okay, that's happening. There appears to be this. Okay, fine, turn the page. I wonder what's going to happen in the story next. And you keep turning the pages, and cause and effect is really irrelevant. The story is the story. You're riveted by the story. If you're reading a great story, you're curious to see what's happening next. You're having all kinds of thoughts, feelings, and sensations as things are happening in the story space and inner space worlds of the hero that you're totally immersed in. And cause and effect is perceived in a different way. Again, in the Harry Potter books, if you've read them, there's magic, you know. So there's cause and effect for the muggles, which are the ordinary people. And then there's cause and effect for the muggles, for the ordinary people that can be modified with magic and potions and different things. And then there's a different kind of cause and effect within the magic world, you know. If you want to produce this effect using magic, then you must use this cause or this combination of causes, whether, again, it's a potion or it's a particular spell with a particular wand or whatever else it is. So, but when you're reading the book and you become aware of the different cause and effect dynamics, stories, rules, formulas, whatever, you accept that, okay, in this story, there's supposedly this cause and this effect. You don't think about it this way. And so every time the cause and effect happens and the effect happens and it ripples through the story, then you experience how it ripples through the story. And it's very similar to the relationship and what I've explained is appearing in the Robert story. Okay, let's see what's next. Here we go. Here's another one from Yukako. Hi, Robert. Just a quick share. My character has been having suicidal thoughts on and off for decades, since when she was 9 or 10 years old. Recently, they have been reappearing in inner space as voices, videos, and images. Then a different voice says, "How can you ever attempt to make yourself vanish when you do not even exist in the first place?" LOL, lots of laughs. Death only means that one of true creative essence's countless viewpoint windows being closed, nothing more or nothing less, right? Any comments would be appreciated. Yeah, it just means the end of a particular story or the end of a particular story being perceived in a particular way. For example, you may recall that when we talked about life after death, the afterlife kind of a thing, and I said that I used to think that there was, you know, one way that all of that worked, not necessarily one place that everybody went, but there's, you know, one way that it worked. This is what happens after you die in this scenario. This is what happens after you die in another scenario. My bias is certain characters, when the human part is over and they die, that's the end. And true creative essence does not shape itself into anything else appearing to happen through that unique window. If a character dies a human life and the story continues going into some other so-called dimension or some other kind of a thing that we would call the afterlife, then true creative essence continues to shape itself into that window being open but having a very different experience than the human experience on the earth with a physical body, even if there's still an energy body or whatever that appears in some other dimension or whatever. So, yes. And you didn't say this really, but you did, you did say it, but you said recently the suicidal things have been reappearing in inner space as voices, videos, and images. That's a truthful relationship with it, which my bias is another part of the reason that it's returning. Because my guess is when this happened to you when you were younger, my language is it really grabbed you by the throat and you really felt that you were miserable and unhappy and you wanted to take your own life or hoped you would die or whatever it was. And all it really was a voice and feelings or sensations, unique appearances in inner space that were being total immersion read even then. There just wasn't awareness of it. But there was the story, this is me, and Yukako's miserable. Yukako doesn't like her life. Yukako would rather die, you know, whatever it is. But it was no different than if you were reading a novel and a character in the novel had suicidal impulses. And if I were to say to you, okay, if you're reading a novel and you become aware that a character has suicidal impulses, let's say, how do you know that? You know, how are you aware of that? And you would say, well, I was aware of the character's thoughts. That's how an author could communicate that. And then it would be a voice. Or you could say, well, there was a scene in which the character A said to character B, I just can't do this anymore. I think it's time for me to just end my life. And it was a dialogue between two humans, or it was whatever. But you'd become aware of it in a certain way. It's not you. You're the reader of the story, but you're aware that a character in the story that you're reading is having some suicidal whatevers. And it really is the same thing. So my guess is that's part of why this is coming back now. It's kind of a guided tour, not just what this other voice is saying, which is an important part of it too, obviously, but also to be able to see something that used to be, my guess is, so difficult, so painful, so tough to deal with, so stressful, whatever you would have said when you had these thoughts. Or maybe it wasn't for you, I don't know, but and to be able to see what they really are, to be able to look at the raw material of what's actually appearing in inner space, to see that it's not you, it's just a voice that's appearing, it's just an image that's appearing, it's just a movement of energy with unique characteristics, bonded to it, whatever, and that you are the total immersion reader of it, and it can't hurt you, and it isn't you, and it isn't your desire, and it's just appearing, and it's being total immersion read. And then, yes, this other piece, too. It's not how can you ever attempt to make yourself vanish. It's that you can't make an illusory character. You know, if a character appears to die, you know, in a novel, then the fictional character appeared to die, didn't really. You know, it's a story. Nobody was really alive. Nobody was really dead. And if you read a novel and a character commits suicide in the novel or in a movie, it's because the writer wrote it. It's not because the character decided it. It's not because the character chose it. It's not because, going back to your other question of cause and effect dynamics, you know, the story that's coming to mind now of a suicidal thing that I was aware of recently is when a child died in an accident and the parent just couldn't go on after that. That was just too traumatic and painful that they lost this precious child and they didn't want to live anymore with the child not in the world. And so the cause and effect of that is the child died and it set down emotion. But if you read about that in a novel, it's the author shaped itself into the illusion of the child. I'm not minimizing any of this. Again, like I said earlier in another question, I'm not suggesting that people try to shut off feelings or pretend, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm just telling the truth about it, is that the author shaped itself into the child being there, the parent being there, the child dying however it died, and the appearances in inner space and the suicidal desires of the parent after that. And if the parent did kill themselves, then the child died in the story, the parent died in the story, and it was just story elements. It's just the author shaping itself into life and death, but no real death, no real life, just stories, just consciousness shaping itself into appearances so that stories can unfold. And so it's really the same thing, which is what you're pointing at. And again, this is all, to me, evidence of what I talked about with the different stages of the truth virus doing its work. When you say on and off for decades and these suicidal things would happen, they would happen. They would do what they did. There was never a voice that said something, yes, but, or wait a minute, you know. And so that's a new thing because the mind machine data programs and algorithms have been changed. And so when these quote unquote suicidal thoughts appear and the mind machine looks at them and buzzes and whirs and runs its questions, there's different stuff. And so this is appearing, and you could either say it's the mind machine, or you could say it's true creative essence talking to you or whatever. It doesn't matter. It's all true creative essence anyway. So, yeah, and I would be curious. You know, I've talked about this before. I don't remember if I talked about this in Your Ultimate Key to Freedom. At various points, not before the Robert character made the leap into phase two, but during the journey through the cloud cover in phase two, using the tools, embracing the model, and then as Ultimate Freedom was awakening and what I narrated as my story in The Ultimate Key to Freedom, I can't even tell you right now. It could be hundreds of times at this point, definitely hundreds of times, could be 1,000 times that quote-unquote suicidal thoughts appeared. Now, the suicidal thoughts never appeared. In the Robert story, it doesn't mean anything. I'm just narrating what happened. To actually do anything, you know, there wasn't like thinking about going to get a gun or trying to find some poison or something that you would actually do to do it. The way it appeared in the Robert story was, I can't do this anymore. You know, if this is going to continue, get me out of here. I don't want to keep living if this is what the story is going to be. That was the form of quote-unquote suicidal thought, but there wasn't actually serious consideration of taking my own life as it appeared. No action was ever taken. Every now and then a thought would appear. You watch spy stories in movies or television, and they have this cyanide capsule or whatever, you know, and if they're captured, they bite this thing, and they're dead about 2 minutes later. Because I think this is funny now. It's not really funny, but I think it's funny now. My bias is that when some of these thoughts used to come up, what would also appear is that the mind machine would buzz and whir and say, you know, even if I wanted to do something about this, I look at the ways that so many people try to kill themselves and none of them seem to be guaranteed, you know, and I certainly would not want to get a gun and fire a gun into my head and survive and then have this, you know, even worse life because my brain had been damaged, you know, or I'd been, you know, I've said these are the kinds. So it used to be, well, if I was going to do it, then I'd want to have a pill, you know, where it would be guaranteed and it would be over in seconds. And when these kinds of things would appear, sometimes it was just the thought that would say, I can't do this anymore. I'd rather, please just end this Robert Story TCE or consciousness expand itself back in the earlier teachings. But every now and then there would be awareness, you know, and there would sometimes be a voice that would say, if there was a pill like that, and if I had a pill like that the way I feel right now, I would take it. And there wasn't, although if that's true, what you see in those spy novels, especially today, my guess is you could go do a search on the internet and get one of those pills, but that never happened. But some of these kinds of things did appear. And ultimately, again, I'm not trying to minimize or judge or poo-poo or anything else like that, but the truth is, it's all just the buzzword of a mind machine. It's a mind machine that's been built in a certain way. True creative essence shaping itself into particular dynamics in the story of a particular character. And the mind machine observes certain things happening in the story, whatever it is, buzzes and whirs, and the output of what does this mean and how should I respond? The output ends up being suicidal, what you're calling suicidal thoughts. But it's ultimately true creative essence shaping itself into either those thoughts and feelings, you know, appearing, or in the way I prefer to look at it, the mind machine buzzing and whirring in response to certain things that are happening. And the things that cause one person to have suicidal thoughts, challenges, bad luck, whatever so-called, would not bother somebody else. So again, different mind machines are programmed different ways, different sensitivities, different levels of overwhelm, different triggers. So different things, but ultimately a mind machine buzz whir based on particular things that are happening and the output into inner space, which the truth is always was and is now being total immersion read, is what you're calling suicidal thoughts. Okay, that's what I feel moved to share on that. I welcome yours or anyone else's comments, Yukako. Okay, let's see what's next. This is from Jurgen. I watched all of it for quite a while already, so has completed all the videos. Dear Robert, thank you for your answer to my last question. Referring to the process, you clarified that it was never about claiming power for the character Jurgen or Robert. I know that. But it could also not refer to the true creative essence because there lies the infinite power already. So, for whom or what did you, we reclaim power? Is it something like the higher self, or as you might call it? Okay, I'm going to stop there for a minute. Again, none of this is really all that important, and it isn't something that it's necessary to really understand, other than the mind machine buzzing and worrying and being obsessed, let's say, with wanting to dot I's and cross T's. Everything is ultimately about stories, total immersion stories, and the opportunity for true creative essence to experience unique thoughts, feelings, sensations, body dynamics, story space experiences, let's call it, as unique characters in unique situations and in unique environments and the whole deal. So, if there's going to be, let's call it, transformation of a character, transformation can take place anyway. At any time with any apparent cause and effect or whatever. The tools, especially the process that are part of, let's call it, the Robert Scheinfeld sphere of influence, that were part of the teachings that my character, True Creative Essence, shapes itself into my character to share. It's a unique experience. Every time something happens, on the Busting Loose Phase 2 tool journey, let's say, and you use the process, it's a unique experience. It's a unique way of, let's just call it, don't take this too literally, because if you do, you can argue with it or you can see collisions or disconnects or whatever, but it's a unique way of being on a journey of transformation. So that's why the particular teachings were created and expressed through the Robert character. That's why the process and the other tools were part of it, because using those tools in unique situations, what happens as you're using them, what happens as things change after you use them, all create unique opportunities for unique experiences. That's the most important piece. In terms of reclaiming power, again, there was something in there that was slightly distorted from the Robert character's perspective, the way I saw things then versus the way I see things now. The way I see things now and experiencing things now, there's not any need to reclaim power. If I was languaging these kinds of things, if I was rewriting the Busting Loose book or writing it for the first time today, I wouldn't talk about reclaiming power. I would talk about true creative essence slowly but surely changing what it shapes itself into and shaping itself into certain things less and less and less and less, having those things appear in the story, in story space or inner space, less and less and less. That would be the way that I would language it. In the way that things were communicated to me, the way the Robert character appeared to learn these things and see these things and experiencing these things, the reclaiming power and using a hologram and all of that were useful and supportive metaphors, but they don't need to be, were never meant to be taken completely literally. They were meant to just give motivation. I think I talked about this before. I'm not sure. I'll repeat this just in case I didn't. Ultimately, all of those teachings were about offering tools that could be used, a context in which it made sense to use them. If there wasn't any talk about holograms, if there wasn't any talk about reclaiming power, if there wasn't any talk about these kinds of things, and I simply gave people the tools, they wouldn't make any sense. And again, true creative essence could shape itself into anything. But from a phase one perspective, assuming everything's real, let's just say the individual has power, decision-making authority, whatever, which is the way I perceived it to a certain extent at the time. It wouldn't have made any sense to use the tools. But when there was illusions and holograms and power, and if you remove power, then the whatever the hologram was can change, can stop appearing. All that made sense. It created a context. It gave motivation. It made sense as part of the package of ultimately using the tools. But for those teachings, ultimately, if the tools were used, not the rest didn't matter. It was the using the tools. And so when you say, for whom or what did you we reclaim power? You didn't. It was a story. And it was a story that was very supportive to knocking out cloud cover, transitioning from phase one into phase two, opening the door to phase three. And that was the metaphor. That was the way that it was looked at in the beginning, that there's reclaiming power. Ultimately, it transitioned into the message being far more about knocking out cloud cover and having more and more sunshine shine through versus reclaiming power. It was much more in my language. It shifted to drilling through the cloud cover, poking holes. It was always there, but there was the reclaiming power, and that was a step. But there wasn't really any power being reclaimed. It was really true creative essence shifting in our language for ultimate freedom. It was true creative essence shifting what it shaped itself into, how it shaped itself into it, how often it shaped itself into it. But it was a metaphor. And at the time, it seemed absolutely accurate to me. It's still useful. It's not that it's inaccurate. It's not that it's a lie. I just have a different way of looking at it now. It still makes sense. An argument could still be made that there was power that true creative essence put into something by writing it, you know. But anyway, it doesn't matter. So to me, this is really mind machine noise. It doesn't really make any difference. This I, this T don't need to be dotted and crossed. It's not important to my bias as it relates to the opportunity that ultimate freedom and the teachings, ultimate freedom teachings offer. Continuing. You emphasized during The Ultimate Key to Freedom that we can do nothing but enjoy the ride by decoupling our primary sensations from our mind machine judgment. I'm going to stop there. I'm just going to take that literally. That's not my language. That's not the way I would language. The way I language it is, there is the pure raw experience of whatever it is that's appearing. Thoughts, feelings, and sensations in inner space, story space, dynamics, people, places, things, whatever it is, in story space. There's the pure raw experience, which is what is actually appearing. And then there's the story about it. And the story, more often than not, includes judgment, but it doesn't have to. It can still just be a story. And it's not just about sensations. So I'm going to take that literally and say that's not the way that I see it. That's not the way that I would language it. And I didn't say you can do nothing but enjoy the ride by separating pure raw experience from story. That, again, wasn't the language. The language was, as the total immersion reader, which is who you really are, not a technique, not a theory, not a concept, but who you really are, there is the opportunity to enjoy the ride like you do with a great novel, like you do with a great movie, by the experience of being who you really are, true creative essence, total immersion, reading your story, being, let's call it, the primary, the dominant, these words aren't accurate, but hopefully you know what I mean, perception point with capital P's for everything that's happening. Now, as that happens, as total immersion reading happens, the awareness of it becomes more prevalent. Again, bear with the language. As ultimate freedom awakens more and more and more, as more and more of a truthful with a capital T relationship with everything happens, yes, very often, pure raw experience separates from stories, and there's an experience of just pure raw experience. But as I narrated in the teachings and in this Q&A archive, the other possibility is there isn't any what you call decoupling. There's still a pure raw experience. There's still a story. But the combination of pure raw experience and story is being total immersion read, and there's a truthful relationship with it. So I just have to clarify that the way you language that to my bias is not accurate or what I shared, so I want to make that clear. Continuing, after hearing some other answers where you've been telling that the tools helped you at that time to remove the cloud cover and reading your email about the Masters of Light experience, including a to-do list with four tools to repetitively use in your daily life when specific things happen to you, I am again confused. So how could it help you at the time to remove your cloud cover as it has no impact? You could have also eaten a cookie or drink a cup of tea instead, isn't it? Okay, I'm going to stop there. Again, I can't remember, Jürgen, what I said to your last question. I have addressed this in the archives, so I would invite you to take a look through the index, the master index, or the indexes for the questions I've answered in, I think it was the month of May. I think there were two questions where people asked about the process and the tools and stuff like this, and I narrated a lot of detail in answer to those questions. There isn't really any cloud cover. There isn't really anything that needs to be knocked out. All of that is story. It's raw material to build stories. It is accurate in many ways for what happens to make the human experience possible, as I narrated in the earlier teachings, but in the way that the Robert story unfolded, limits, restrictions, stuff that was in the cloud cover that used to bear with the language, drive Robert crazy, make him unhappy, cause him to struggle and experience stress, all of that changed as a result, quote unquote, of using the tools over an extended period of time. Again, it was a story. It was a path from point A to point B, point A being cloud cover fully in place, lies, illusions, and stories, and the Robert story that I narrated in the My Story section being in place and affecting things. That was point A. Point B was that healing, if you want to call it that, Robert being freed from those repetitive patterns, all these kinds of things. It happened because true creative essence shaped itself into that. If you look at the Harry Potter stories, the seven books tell a story. And the story is ultimately the battle of the ultimate good wizard, Harry Potter, against the ultimate bad wizard, Voldemort. You say, why, you know, if it has no impact. Well, did anything that Harry Potter did have any real impact? Did anything that Voldemort did in the stories have any real impact? No, it was a fictional story. It appeared to have impact. Harry appeared to free the wizarding world from the ultimate bad guy at the end, but did anything really happen? Again, I believe I addressed this on day four. No, it was just a story. Nothing really happened. Nobody was really killed. Nobody was really hurt. Voldemort wasn't really killed. You know, all of it was just a story. So it didn't really, quote unquote, help me to remove cloud cover, but it was the Robert story. There was cloud cover, which was limiting and restricting influences that were built in childhood and adulthood. And then there was the experience of going into those things, reversing it, doing the opposite of what was done in phase one to build the cloud cover was what those tools were ultimately all about, including most notably the process. I look at the process now as the first injections of the truth virus, to use the current language that I use. It had impact at the story level, like things that Harry Potter did had impact at the story level because the author wrote it that way, because True Creative Essence wrote it that way. For cloud cover to be built, affect the Robert character in a certain way, for those tools to be used and other things to happen, to reverse that, to create healing, transformation, whatever you want to call it at the story level. And so that's why. And again, there's an over-analysis that's going on here with the mind machine that's really not all that important, because in the Ultimate Freedom Teachings, the opportunity is to be in a truthful relationship with a capital T, with all thoughts, all feelings, all sensations, total immersion reading, different, truthful with a capital T relationship to everything happening in story space, and all this stuff about the process and the earlier teachings really, again, doesn't matter, except in a mind machine story or the mind machine trying to dot I's, cross T's, cross-reference things, analyze things, run its questions on everything. Again, I'm not criticizing you. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you shouldn't be asking these or somebody else shouldn't be asking these questions. I'm just shining the light of truth on it. This is a mind game that the mind machine is playing, trying to reconcile all of this and tie it all up and everything. And if you look at the opportunity that the Ultimate Freedom Teachings offers, none of this really matters. My bias. Continuing. You often said that we could, of course, do the process if we want, but whatever we do, it just fills blanks in the story without getting us closer to the truth. I don't want to repeat useless words in my mind over and over again if it does nothing. I'm going to stop there. Again, this is a mind machine story, Jürgen. This is pure idea, concept, logic, analysis, whatever. And even in the context that I'm sharing here and I've shared in the other answers to people asking about the tools and the earlier teachings that I recommend that you find and listen to, they're not useless words. I mean, at the truth level, with a capital T, they are useless, just like any word a fictional character says in a story, anybody, any word that's said in a movie, you could say is useless because it's not real. But the process words at the truth level are useless, yes. I wouldn't use that word, but an argument could be made. But at the story level, again, if True Creative Essence shapes itself into a character using those words and something happening as a result, then they're not useless. Because number one, there's an experience that is had as they're being used every time. There's thoughts, feelings, and sensations that happen. There's the opportunity to look at old things in a different way. All these kinds of things I've talked about before, so I'm not going to talk about more here. They're not useless. They're not a waste of time, or they don't have to be anyway. They're not in and of themselves. If you want to use the process, you can use the process. If you don't. It doesn't matter. But True Creative Essence can shape it into the process being enjoyable, being supportive, appearing to create change, transformation, as it did in the Robert story for so long until I stopped using them. There's no problem here except in a story by the mind machine, and if you use them, you use them. If you don't, you don't. Continuing, only one thing can be true with a capital T. Either we can do nothing but to watch, or We have power through tools or whatever techniques, and we can change our life. The only thing we could do then is the Ultimate Key to Freedom course to inject the virus. Okay, I'm going to stop here. Jürgen, I'm sorry. I mean no disrespect. I'm not being negative or judgmental, or I'm just, again, shining the light of truth. This is not accurate, this statement. And the mind machine is buzzing and worrying on this stuff, and it's kicking out some stuff that I'll just call as highly distorted and inaccurate. Again, go back to the metaphor of a novel. If you read novels, characters do things. Going back to an earlier question in this audio about cause and effect, if you read a novel, a character can appear to do X, and it's a cause that sets into something into motion, which is an effect. A character can do something and appear to change their life. If you remember what Michael Haig talks about with a great story, heroes change their lives by taking journeys and doing things and overcoming obstacles. This is the nature of stories. So all of this can appear to happen. Does Jürgen, as an individual, as a hero of a story, have any power? No. Does Jürgen have the ability to change Jürgen's life? No. For the reasons that I go into in the Ultimate Freedom Teachings, I'm not going to repeat them here. All of that's there, and it's been shared with great detail. It's true creative essence shaping itself into whatever happens. Just like if you read the Harry Potter novels, but it's true about any novel. No matter what characters appear, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, no matter what they think, no matter what they feel, no matter what happens in an environment, no matter what animals or creatures or castles or cars or spaceships or dinosaurs or whatever else you see in the story, no matter what appears, it's all the author's imagination shaping itself into the people, places, things, thought, feeling, and sensations. There's no power in any of the characters. There's no free will. There's no decision making. There's characters appear to change their lives in novels, but they don't really. It's the author's consciousness shaping itself into it. Same thing with us. So it's not that one thing is true. Either you can do nothing or you can do something. You, meaning Jürgen, the individual, the character, the hero, cannot do anything. Never could, can't now. It's always true creative essence. But Jürgen, Robert, anybody else listening to this, can appear to do things. The actions can appear to make a difference. The truth to my bias and the opportunity with Ultimate Freedom, being with a capital B, the total immersion reader of the story, changes the relationship to everything that appears. It creates a truthful relationship with everything versus a lie, illusion, story, cloud cover relationship to everything. And so the only thing we could do then is to inject the virus. I'm gonna stop there again, because this is all just continually mind machine buzzing and whirring and spinning and kicking out the same basic stuff coming from the same basic place. And ultimately, again, when there's an experience of the things that are shared in the Ultimate Freedom Teachings, I've talked about this in the last few weeks a lot, last few months a lot. If the mind machine buzzes and whirs on the ideas and concepts shared in Ultimate Freedom, as you're seeing here, it will come up with endless objections. It will come up with endless questions. It will come up with endless I'm confused. When there's an experience of the truth with a capital T, that there's pure raw experience and there's story and there's the fusion of them and that they can separate and who you really are is the total immersion. All this stuff that is coming out here that's mind machine noise to my bias, not being critical or judgmental of you. I'm just observing what's happening, narrating what's happening through my biased eyes. All this stuff disappears. It's irrelevant to the experience of ultimate freedom. When we dance at the idea and concept level, again, objections, questions, confusions. What about this? What about that? How does this reconcile with that? All this stuff, when it's a pure idea, concept, and dance, it's an endless loop. And I say endless loop because it never ends. And the only thing that ends it is when it drops, bear with the language, from idea and concept to experience. Continuing, and what the hell is so different between the quote-unquote old tools and the four Masters of Light experience tools to make a difference. I ask that knowing that it cannot make a difference at all, because if we don't have power, the content of what we do does not matter. I'm not sure what you're referring to there, Jürgen. The old tools to me are the four Masters of Light tools. In the Busting Loose Phase 2 teachings, there were four tools. The process, the mini process, appreciation, and transformation of vocabulary. Those are the four tools that were part of the earlier teachings. So I'm not sure when you're saying between old tools and the Masters of Light tools, same thing. And the rest of your question I've addressed. Continuing, you offer through the Freedom Facilitator the possibility to do events from Busting Loose until the Ultimate Key to Freedom. Would it not make sense to leave the other courses behind and concentrate on the Ultimate Key to Freedom? Is this finally the only thing that helps? How can I teach or sell the process knowing that the effect is zero, although it would be better for marketing? Again, Jürgen, this is pure mind-machine noise. None of this is true to my bias. None of it is accurate. It's a particular spin on the mind-machine asking these questions, and it's saying the same thing over and over and over again, which is, if there's no power in any of this, why bother? Well, I could say to you, since there's no power in anything and it's all just fictional and nothing really happens, why read a novel? Why watch a movie if there really aren't superheroes and there really aren't alien invasions and there really aren't this or that that's part of a movie that you really love? Why watch a movie? It's really the same thing. Again, in the Ultimate Freedom teachings, it's ultimately about the opportunity to have unique thoughts, feelings, and sensations, unique bodily experiences, unique experiences of things through the senses in story space, and that's what it's all about. And anything can appear to have power. Again, I urge you to listen to some of the Q&As over the last few weeks, second half of May, in particular, where a lot of these things are addressed more deeply if you haven't already listening. And it's not, is this the only thing that helps? Again, in the Robert story, the four tools, the Busting Loose teachings, the Phase 2 teachings, the Masters of Light teachings, made a huge difference in the way that the story was written. Like many things that Harry Potter did in the stories appeared to make a difference, including how he won the final battle in the final book at the end of it. It was all an illusion. None of it really happened, but stuff that he did appeared to make a difference. Yes, it was J.K. Rowling's consciousness shaping itself into what Harry did. Yes, it was not true, but true creative essence, J.K. Rowling can shape itself into anything happening in a story. Would it make sense to leave the other courses behind? I think about that. That appears. And what appears at the moment is, in the Robert story, those teachings made a big difference. They made a big difference, again, in the way that I've talked about here. I'm not going to repeat it. It's a story that they made a difference, but in the story, they made a difference. Everything's a story. So and it made a difference in the lives of a lot of other characters before the Ultimate Freedom teachings. And my bias is a true creative essence will shape itself into, as long as those things are offered in my sphere of influence or through Freedom Facilitators, it'll be because it's useful, supportive, helpful to a particular story, and therefore true creative essence will shape itself into it having impact in one way, shape, or form. Someday, those may be left behind. But again, if someone's a Freedom Facilitator, they have a unique experience offering the teachings. They have unique thoughts, feelings, and sensations. They have unique experiences based on who comes to those events and what their lives are like and what the interactions are like and the questions that they ask. And again, it's all about stories. That's all that matters. So it gives the Freedom Facilitators great opportunities, like it did for me when I was teaching those things. Again, it's all raw material for great stories, and the mind machine is buzzing and whirring and asking its questions here and coming up with a distorted conclusion that's being spun out of control, so to speak, that's being heavily distorted by a misunderstanding, I'll call it, lack of a better term, of what's real, what's not real, what the significance of it is, what has power, what doesn't have power, what the significance of it is. And I've addressed that here. If you want to continue the dialogue on that specifically, I'm happy to. Continuing. But on the other hand, there is the risk, nevertheless, that you discover one day during your story that this was, although only a phase, and you realize the tools really change things. Do you know what I mean? No, I don't in that. I'm sorry. Are you really sure? Again, thanks a lot, and I am already curious about your answer. Kind regards, Jürgen. So, to summarize, the greatest opportunity that I see here is to realize, Jürgen, who you really are is true creative essence, total immersion reading, the Jürgen story. And part of what has appeared in the Jürgen story recently has been the Ultimate Freedom teachings. So who you really are is true creative essence, total immersion reading, the Jürgen story, in which the Ultimate Freedom teachings were drops in a pond, so to speak, that are now rippling out. And that one of the things that's rippling out, and it's classic to what I talked about the stages of the truth virus doing its work, the most detail of which is in the Ultimate Key to Happiness videos. This is a stage of the destabilization of the mind machine, buzzing and worrying and trying to understand everything and cross-reference everything and dot I's, cross T's, cobble together old teachings, new teachings, reconcile it all, tie it all up with nice ribbons, and to realize that that's what you're reading. And that what's happening here is no different than if you, Jürgen, were reading a novel. And in the novel, let's just say there's a character named Peter. And Peter just discovered the Ultimate Freedom teachings after having gone through the Phase 2 Busting Loose Masters of Light teachings, whatever, and is confused and is overthinking and overanalyzing, bear with that language, and you're turning the pages and you're reading, wow, Peter's trying to figure all this stuff out and is trying to reconcile it all and is trying to think its way through all of this, and you're turning the pages curious what's going to happen. That's what's going on here, and that's all. You are total immersion reading the mind machine, having a field day with the Ultimate Freedom teachings and how they appear to be colliding with earlier teachings from me, perhaps some other ones, although you've only referred to the ones from me. And it's a stage, as I've talked about with other people in this particular audio, it's a stage. It doesn't tend to last. You will work your way through it. Again, I invite you to, if you haven't already, listen to the full audios over the last, 2, 3, 4 weeks. You'll be getting this on June 5th. So the audio for the last week of May, the week before that, because there's a lot of stuff that I talked about that I think would be useful for you. So that's what's going on here. The mind machine is buzzing and whirring and doing its thing at the pure idea and concept level. But there's a distortion in how the conclusions that it's drawing, the overlays that it's putting onto things in terms of significance and what it means. You will work your way through this. My feeling is. And ultimately, the real solution to all of this, the real opportunity for all of this, is that in the Jürgen story, the buzzword, the mind machine, the dancing at the purely idea and concept level about old teachings, new teachings, just thinking about it all, analyzing it all down to actually experiencing, when it drops down to actual experiencing of the truth of what ultimate freedom means, of what the ultimate freedom teachings offer the opportunity for. That's the only way to ultimately resolve these things, silence these things, reconcile these things, because it's endless as long as it remains at the idea and concept level. The magic happens, and the magic only happens when it drops from idea to concept into experience with a capital E of the truth with a capital T. Okay, here's the last one that came in this week. This is from Sherry. And Sherry says, she's been through the Ultimate Key to Freedom twice. She's using transformational vocabulary, but I am not going to verbally describe the quotes. Sherry would like Robert to again share some of the benefits he's experienced as a result of Ultimate Freedom awakening in his life. The level of awakening that Sherry has experienced doesn't feel better to her It just feels different. Okay, this one, Sherry, to me, to my bias, is very tricky, but it's interesting, which is what's better? And I'm pausing there for effect. What does better mean? First of all, better is a judgment. It says there's A and there's B, and to one degree or another, A is not good and B is. Or A is okay, but B is, but A is okay, it's sort of good, but B is more good, it's whatever. And the reality is, and the mind machine can buzz and whir and say, come on, Robert, be realistic, or give me a break or whatever else. But the reality is, better is a story. And how it's defined depends on how a particular mind machine is programmed. If a mind machine is programmed to buzz and whir and say, I'm just making up random examples here. I don't know what is at the moment. I'm not remembering if you've shared it. Actually, now I am remembering because we talked about it earlier. If the mind machine defines X, Y, and Z as bad, it's bad that da-da-da-da is going on with my husband. It's bad that my income is this number instead of that number. It's bad if my back hurts when I wake up in the morning and get out of bed. It's bad if this, it's bad if that. Then all the things that are bad or that aren't so good, whatever, bear with the language, you know what I mean. Then life would be better, quote unquote, if all those bad things went away. But it's not better, it is just different. Phase three, ultimate freedom, is just different. It's very different, but it really is different if we're truthful about it. Now, can the mind machine make up a story? And when I get to talking about how things have changed in the Robert story, definitely a story, a logical story, could be constructed that says, come on, if you used to be this, 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 and this, and you used to experience this, 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 and this, and now you don't experience those bad things anymore, and you're experiencing da 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 da, quote unquote, good things. Come on. Of course, your life's better. But it isn't. Now, the mind machine, the buzzword, is never going to agree with this. And it's unlikely that it will even let go of it doesn't ever get better, it just gets different. Better doesn't really exist. The odds are there's going to be some sort of an intellectual idea, concept, buzzword objection to that. Once again, as I've mentioned several times in previous audios and on this particular audio, as long as things remain at an idea and a concept buzzword level, there's going to be endless objections, there's going to be endless judgments, there's going to be endless problems, there's going to be endless confusions, and the only way that changes is when it drops down into experience. And I can imagine that what then comes up, Sherry, as you listen to that is, okay, Robert, I totally get that, but it hasn't dropped down to experience yet in the Sherry story, or not as much as it has with you, or whatever else it is. I looked it up. You first were exposed to the Ultimate Freedom teachings, what you enrolled anyway, in December of 2014. I don't remember when you started going through the videos or how long it took you, but let's imagine that it took you a week, so mid-December, and we're now in early June, so that's January, February, March, April, May, 5.5 months ago. Now, I don't know or I don't remember how old you are. Sherry, based on comments that you made earlier, you've been trying to use various techniques and methods and practices and different kinds of things to change, fix, and improve your life for a really long time and did not succeed. And so now we're 5 months into something which, on my journey, again, it's not a rule or a formula, it's just my journey of ultimate freedom awakening was somewhere around 3 years. If I break apart, what I consider to be the phase two, busting loose, using the tools, being in phase two stuff. The whole journey, as I've mentioned, was about 10 years, but the transition to, so 3 years, and you're at 5 months, as we've discussed, and as you have narrated here, it just feels different. Many, many, many things have changed. There are people who change. My languaging is deeply, profoundly, and permanently just by going through either the live 5-day Ultimate Key to Freedom experience or going through the online experience. And there's a gigantic change that happens while they're going through it, that happens relatively quickly, and then ripples out, and the changes continue to multiply and whatever. There are other stories where it unfolds over a longer period of time. There's no rule or formula. It's all about the unique story. But from what I could say, there's some pretty miraculous things from what you've shared that have happened in the Sherry story that are being, I would say, disregarded, taken for granted, because there's this whole list that you narrated about stuff that you're not happy with that you wish was different. So that's the first thing I want to say. What does better mean? Better is just a story in the mind machine that basically says, but if you really think about it, you know, like I'm sitting here saying, what does better mean? You know, you almost can't answer the question without using the word. But if you really take a look at it, what does it mean? If your life was better, you're saying it's not. So if it was, what does that mean? And in your case, what it means is a list of things that are currently being buzzword mind machine judged as bad and wrong and negative are present. And if they were gone, your life would be better. And or there are certain things that the mind machine is buzzing and worrying and are saying are missing. It's not a present negative, so to speak, but it's a missing something. And if this missing something was added in, whatever that is, this good thing were present that's not present now, or there's a little bit of it now, but if there was more of it, you know, then the mind machine would buzz and whir and say, okay, because that missing thing has been added in, because more of that missing thing, you know, I had a little bit of it, but now I have a lot more of it, now my life's better. But it's just a story. It's just a story. And when you're reading a novel, there may be some exceptions to this, but my bias is what I'm about to say is accurate. When you're reading a story, when you're reading a novel, same thing with a movie, but or a TV show, but when you're reading a novel, and if the novel, the story follows the kind of guideline that Michael Haig talked about, which is a hero wants something, they start moving in that direction, there's all kinds of obstacles and challenges and setbacks and all these things, you're reading a novel, you don't consciously think to yourself when all of a sudden, you know, the obstacles or there's a setback or there's a problem, or like he used the example of the firm. And Mitch McDear takes this job at this law firm, and in the beginning, everything's all exciting, and he's enjoying the money and the prestige and all of that. And you don't think to yourself, wow, Mitch's life is good now. You just say, okay, you know, Mitch is at the law firm and da-da-da-da is happening. There isn't a positive or negative. There isn't a better or worse. There's no judgment. There's just an acceptance, you could say. It's not the perfect word, but there's just an acceptance of the details of the Mitch McDear story that you've been spoon-fed. And then all of a sudden, when stuff turned, quote-unquote, negative, and all the problems, and it's a front for the mob, and all the crap that happened, so to speak, you don't think as the reader, oh, well, Mitch's life is worse now. You're just aware of it's different. You know, oh my God, his law firm's a front for the mob and he's in deep shit. But you don't think to yourself, oh, his life is worse. You just say, okay, fine. Now he's in trouble. Turn the page. Let's see what's going to happen in the story. And then ultimately at the end, when he gets out of the law firm and he solves all the problems and frees his brother and all this other kind of stuff, you don't think to yourself, now Mitch's life is better. You're just aware of all of the things that happened in Mitch's life. And when you're reading, when you're watching a movie, that kind of better, worse judgment, don't like this, would rather have that, all this stuff, when you're reading a story, it just doesn't come up. So that's the first thing that I want to say before getting into the other part of your question, which is your life's never going to feel better to you unless the mind machine is quote unquote better, unless the mind machine is telling a story that says that. And if it tells a story that says that, it's just an arbitrary buzzword based on the data in it. the algorithms and programs in it that this is bad and this is good, and if this bad was gone, then my life's better, or if this new good was present, then my life would be better. Life is always only different. And anything that gets added to that, better, worse, whatever else, is a story. And again, you can see that when you watch a movie, when you read a novel, but again, let's go back to novel, when you're reading, when you're the reader, you don't look at the life of the hero as being better, worse, good, bad. You just are aware of what's happening and what's different and what's changing. And that's very much the same that happens with ultimate freedom. But when you're in that kind of a relationship, when you're the total immersion reader, it's not you, it's not personal, it's not good, it's not bad, it's just a unique, an opportunity for unique thoughts, feelings, and sensations, which is the same thing that happens when you read a story, when you watch a movie, and bad stuff happens to good people, so to speak, tough stuff happens to good people. You're aware of all of the quote-unquote differences, but you don't call it better, worse. You just are aware of the details that you're being spoon-fed, and it's very similar in terms of what happens in the Robert story. It's very similar in the other stories that I'm aware of, that ultimate freedom has awakened in a story. And again, I just want to be precise here. You said as a result of ultimate freedom awakening in my life, it's not awakening. Ultimate freedom doesn't awaken in your life. It doesn't awaken Sherry. It doesn't awaken in Sherry. The best languaging is it awakens in the story. The total immersion reader becomes the way that the entire story is experienced. But it doesn't happen to Robert. It doesn't happen to Sherry. It's not my life that it happens in. It's the way, quote unquote, my life is being perceived. And by the way, I do this sometimes because it's interesting. I looked up the word better in the dictionary. And it says, comparative of good and well, of a more excellent or effective type or quality, partly or fully recovered from illness, injury, or mental stress, less unwell. So, again, it's judgment, 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 judgment. And, again, I'm not stupid, and I've been through all of this, and I tell this story sometimes. When I do the live Ultimate Freedom, I don't know that I talked about it in the videos. I can't remember, from Sedona. I used to talk about it in some of the phase two things too, is that somebody can come up to me and say, okay, Robert, well, in phase one, it's all about being opposite who you are and struggle and limitation and restriction, and you can't get what you want or you can't hold on to it. Techniques don't work, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's scenario A. And in scenario B, with cloud cover knocked out and the sun shining, it's this, 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 and this. You can't be serious in telling me that phase three isn't better. But I am, and it's not. It is just different. It's always just different. Good, bad, better, worse. All these kinds of things are truly not as some woo-woo spiritual concept or idea or theory or whatever, philosophy. The truth is they don't exist. They are just stories. And just like you can experience anything happening to any character in a novel or a movie or a TV show and have a different relationship to it, a different experience to it, the same thing happens with ultimate freedom, fully awake. Anything can happen in a character's story. For short periods of time, long periods of time, whatever, and it can be perceived as the total immersion reader, as, lack of a better term, an enjoyable story, even if quote-unquote tough stuff, bad stuff, struggling, challenging, the kind of stuff you put on your list that we talked about earlier happens. Now, having said that, which is the more important piece in terms of response to your question, the literal question, can you share some of the benefits? Now, again, I have to push on that. There are no benefits. Benefit means, can you tell me some of the good things that happened in the Robert story as a result? And again, him looking at the definition of benefit, an advantage or profit gained from something. So again, benefit means something good that you experienced as a result of this. And there isn't anything good that is experienced. There isn't anything bad that's experienced. Similar to better, there's just the Robert story is different. And yes, I get, as I said, I'm repeating myself, a logical argument can be constructed if certain assumptions are accepted. That if you define bad as this, and you define good as that, and then you say, in someone's life, it changed from this to that. According to the definition of bad, it used to be bad. And according to the definition of good, the way it changed is good. Unless you have a lot of assumptions and definitions that seem so obvious and seem to be so accurate and correct. Of course this is good. Of course that's bad. Of course this and that. It just isn't true. It just isn't true, except in a story. And it is possible to experience that, although when that is looked at, buzzword, idea and concept level only, there'll be a million yeah, buts and objections, and no, I don't see it that way, or that doesn't make sense. Of course, da-da-da-da is bad, and of course, da-da-da is good, but it's not. And there's a lot of other stuff I could say about this at the story level. There are all kinds of things that happen to people that from a certain perspective, a certain buzzword would be defined as terrible, tragic, awful, horrible, whatever, that led to extraordinary things in the old way of looking at things, not the way I'm talking about here, not with ultimate freedom awake, but that the languaging would be from a phase one perspective, this really bad thing happened, or these bad things happened, but they led to a bunch of good things. And you just never know. You never know what's going to be set into motion. You never know where something's going to lead. And all of these things are arbitrary. And so in the Robert story, the arbitrariness, the breaking things into positive, negative, good, bad, better, worse, I don't like my life the way it is. It would be better if all this is just gone. Because there's a truthful, with a capital T, relationship with everything that's appearing. That's part of what happens with ultimate freedom when it fully awakens in a story, is that those lies, illusions, and stories, the polarities, the positive, negative, the good, bad, pleasurable, painful, disappear. And the reality is, lack of a better term, ultimate freedom is not fully awake yet in the Sherry story, but there is a lot of stuff, a lot of progress has been made, so to speak, a lot of things have changed in what you shared with me. But in terms of experiencing with a capital E, all of the things that are part of ultimate freedom awakening haven't yet. And again, it's a journey. As I said, it isn't going to happen with snap of a finger. It isn't going to happen in a lightning bolt moment in general. It could. It's going to unfold over time and almost always longer than the mind machine, if not always, more often than not, it'll awaken over a period of time longer than what the mind machine would prefer or ask for, which is really yesterday or immediate, in order to experience the extraordinary twists and turns, all the kind of stuff Michael Haig talked about a great story of ultimate freedom awakening. And I get that there's some impatience in the Sherry story, and there's a desire for the bad stuff to go away and good stuff to come and all these things, because you narrated that in the last few weeks. But all of that is buzzword. It's stories, it's distortion, it's cloud cover, it's whatever you want to call it, and it's in the process of changing from what I can see and what I can hear. Now, in terms of specific benefits, again, I can't give you benefits because there aren't any, and I don't perceive it that way, and I'm not just talking that way to be politically correct. I just don't see it that way. I can tell you all kinds of stuff, you know. I can tell you that inner space is not as congested as it used to be, and there aren't all these characters yelling and screaming and being unhappy with how the Robert character is being treated, and all these other perfectionist tendencies, and all that. I can tell you all these kinds of things that are different, but the reality is there's no aspect of the Robert story that has been left untouched. And as I mentioned, I believe in the videos and in these audios, the Robert story is not over. The Robert story is still unfolding. And the Robert story, ultimately, at a theme kind of a level, is about this character that got really screwed up, who then started to heal. And this is at the story level. And a lot of that, as I've mentioned, is still unwinding. You know, Robert is still a work in progress, so to speak. The character is still changing. The truth virus is still doing things, you could say, if you want to. Ultimate freedom's awake, but as I think I mentioned, no, actually, this is something I talk about in the 5-day now. Ultimate freedom, awakens in a story that's still in motion. And so whatever happens after ultimate freedom awakens in a story is perceived with a capital P in a very different way as the total immersion reader, but the story continues. And so ultimate freedom awakened in the middle of the Robert character at the story level healing and working through so many of those childhood things that I talked about and how they rippled and getting guided tours of how those things were in the past and how they're, so these things are still happening, but they're being total immersion read. So again, according to old definitions, you know, the traditional languaging, the Robert healing journey's not over. Robert is not a perfected, completed being. The character is still changing. And if you go back to what Michael Haig talked about with identity to essence, hard to put this into language, but the most accurate way I could language it is that the journey from identity to essence has pretty much completed at the story level, but then exploring the Robert character, bear with the language, exploring being in essence and experiencing everything, personal, business, parenting, ex-wife, everything, from essence instead of from identity is what's going on right now. And it's fascinating and it's delicious and it's amazing. It's going to be amazing at the time of this recording. I have not met a new female partner, haven't gotten into a serious romantic relationship since the separations and the divorce with my ex. And that's going to happen, and it's going to be an amazing experience to see how different that's going to be. Many, many, many things are happening as it relates to my business, what I'm doing, how I'm doing it, bear with the language, new opportunities that are surfacing. I'm getting closer to exploring what you may have heard me talk about before, which is I have a series of novels planned, fiction, telling a story about a character that gets on the truth path, and which is something I've wanted to do actually since I was a high school kid, to write fiction. And there's no aspect of my life that hasn't been touched. But what the question when it says, can you give me some of the benefits, your mind machine, hard to put this into words, is looking for some tangible things at the idea and concept level that it can use to deal with what's going on right now in the Sherry story. I can't really give you specifics because everything's changed. Nothing is the same. There's no aspect of the Robert story that's been left untouched. And if I did give you specifics, it would just support the buzzword, you know, because that's what the mind machine is seeking something in order to, hard to put this into words, so please bear with the language, to help the Sherry character feel better, to be able to put things in context, to be able to perhaps have some ammunition to change, fix, and improve things by doing something, or to have something to hope for, something specific to hope for, because it can say, oh, okay, well, this happened to Robert, so maybe that'll happen to me, you know, and this happened to Robert at the 2-year point, so maybe I can look forward to that happening at the 2-year point, you know, so it wouldn't be supportive ultimately, and I really just can't do it. It's too gigantic, it's too pervasive, everything has changed. And it would take me hours and hours and hours, and I haven't stopped to analyze it or to figure it out. I mean, there are certain things that are very obvious to me in terms of what's changed. But everything has. Many, many, many details have changed in story space. The biggest changes have been in inner space, where, again, you may have heard me say this, you may not. And when I was in phase one, if somebody had come up to me and said, Robert, honest, brutally honest, give me one word to describe you as a person, what would the one word be? I would have said tortured, and I would have meant it. You know, I wasn't being overly dramatic because that's how I felt. And in our language now, the kind of stuff that was appearing in inner space and the constant yelling and screaming and feeling hurt and feeling angry and the myth of Sisyphus thing of constantly pushing this rock up, and then the minute you would get it up, it would fall down, and an exhaustion and overwhelm and victimization. I mean, it's just tortured really was a perfect word to describe how the Robert character felt. And I mentioned a lot of this in my story, had a lot of successes in the traditional sense, but wasn't able to enjoy them, had many blessings and benefits, but wasn't able to enjoy them. I was miserable most of the time, no matter what. Felt exhausted most of the time, no matter what. So again, as I've mentioned multiple times on this audio and in other audios, the opportunity here, the invitation that I'll give you, so to speak, and then where it goes, is imagine. And I'm making random numbers. They're not going to be accurate. I'm just illustrating a point. Imagine that the Sherry story is 50,000 pages long. And imagine I'm picking a random arbitrary thing that right now you're on page 38,000. And so everything that happened in your past, everything that's happened in the 6 months or so since you became aware of ultimate freedom is in those first 38,000 pages. And now there's 12,000 more pages in the story before the Sherry story ends, which means that Sherry dies. And again, as I mentioned earlier, if there's some life after death thing, you know, afterlife thing in the Sherry story, so be it. But in terms of the earthbound Sherry, imagine there's another 12,000 pages. And in those 12,000 pages, a number of them are going to be the story of ultimate freedom awakening, slowly but surely, giving you the opportunity to savor the changes, see the work of the truth virus, see things change little bit at a time, little bit at a time, little bit at a time, really beginning being able to experience with a capital E, the truth with a capital T of what I said here, that there is really isn't any good or bad or right or wrong or positive or negative or painful or pleasurable except in a story. It's all good. It's all amazing. It's all just bundles of thoughts, feelings, and sensations and things coming in through the senses from story space, and that's all it is. And all of it can be cherished and can be perceived as delicious, no matter what the specific details are. So part of those 12,000 pages is going to be the continuing journey of ultimate freedom awakening and everything that's going to be part of that in the unique Sherry story. Again, remember, for me, that was 3 years. Not a rule or a formula, but that's what it was for me. And you better believe there were a lot of times, I've said this before, in those 3 years where it was, okay, I've had enough. Now I want you to snap your finger, TCE, and change everything in an instant because I'm ready. I've had enough of the shit, blah, blah, blah. But came out the other end. That's not how I perceived it. I wouldn't trade 1 second of what happened, no matter how difficult it appeared and tortuous it appeared at various points. And then after that, like Michael talked about, you know, there's the stages of the story. There's the climax where the particular dynamic resolves itself. And then there's the aftermath where you get to see the character in its new life. So something in those 12,000 pages is going to be after ultimate freedom awakens, the Sherry character in her new life. However you want to language that, which again is what's going on with the Robert character now, and I don't know how many more years I'm going to live or what's going to happen, but everything now is being total immersion read, all capital letters, total immersion read. So everything's being perceived differently no matter what it is, and each day the content is changing in unique ways, and I anticipate that's going to continue to happen. And if we map this onto Michael Haig's structure, then, you know, the rest of Robert's life is going to be aftermath. And so this kind of a thing is what's going to happen in Sherry's story. So as you said, but you've added a slightly negative, my bias, tinge of resignation, surrender, you know, desperation, whatever. I'm being forced to just relax and wait and let the story unfold every day, you know, blah, blah, blah. Not a good thing, but a bad thing. But you have to do it, so fine, you're resigned to it. Which will change my bias. That'll change in the Sherry story, but that's the reality. You're going to wake up every day. Stuff's going to happen. The journey into ultimate freedom awakening is going to continue. It's going to have its twists and turns. It's going to have its odds are moving more slowly than the mind machine buzzword wants it to. Already seeing that in the things that you're narrating. I know that again, intimately. The story's going to continue and we'll see where it goes. All right, that's all that we have this week. And once again, we got along. It seems like I've been tracking it about 2 hours for the last few weeks in terms of answering the questions. So that's all for this week. Thank all of you who contributed, comments, shares, questions. Thank you very much. Doing these is one of the highlights of my week, I'll just say, using judgmental language. I do really enjoy these. And so on that note, I'll say bye-bye for now. I'll look forward to our next form of contact, whatever shape that takes. Bye-bye for now.